Thank you so very, very much. What an awesome surprise. And thank you, Pastor Bill Hart, and thank you, Cathedral. Gene and I are very, very grateful, very, very thankful. 4 years ago, this very weekend, Gene and I moved to Austin so we could be near our family. And so the very first weekend that we were here, we have been scheduled to preach all weekend long for months. And we moved in on we sold our house, moved in on the very day. We unpacked on a Friday afternoon, and we got through unpacking about 6:30, and by 7 o'clock I was here at church on Friday night. And then I ministered on Saturday morning. And then on Sunday morning, Gene and I joined the church. We became members of this church 4 years ago this weekend. So it's a very significant weekend. And it was a no-brainer because we've been coming to this church for so many, many years. And we love Bill and Sue Hart and love all of you. And thank you for the anniversary offering. So grateful, so thankful. On March the 12th, 1967, Gene and I left my position at a radio station in Wichita Falls, Texas, and put all of our stuff in a trailer that we bought for $800. And our son, Rick, who was 2 years old, and his dog, Tex. And we started down the road with one revival. That's all we had. But we're still going here 50 years later, and I want to announce that God is good. And I can say, as a man who's been in the ministry full-time for 50 years, that God is faithful, and that we can trust Him, and the journey is worth it. It's worth the journey. And our greatest reward is that our kids and our grandkids love Jesus. I'm so thankful that they're here today, and well, I love my kids and my grandkids so very, very much. I don't know if they have y'all stood. Y'all stand. And so good to have them here. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. May God bless you. Okay, I want us to read from the book of John. I'm going to share a little bit today, and then we're going to pray. I love to pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. You got that, John 15? Always carry a bunch of notes with me in case, I run out of anything to say. That's the greatest concern of a preacher. What if you get up and you forget what you were supposed to say? Then you can just read something. The Bible says in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, beginning with verse 13. These are the words of Jesus. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. I've been praying about this Sunday, asking the Holy Spirit what He would have me to say to you today, because I believe that God always has a word that He would like for His servants to share and His friend to share. So as I was praying this week, I just kept hearing the same word, just one word, friends, friends. And I thought, well, there's got to be more to it than that. surely I can say more than just friends. But as I began to pray and meditate on friends, I begin to realize that there is nothing greater in life than, first of all, God, and then second of all, family, and then third, friends. I have a friend whose name is Michael W. Smith, and years ago in the 80s, he brought out a song that went all the way to number one on the charts, simply called Friends. Friends are friends forever if the Lord is Lord of them. And I just got a text from my friend Michael W. Smith yesterday. But I love that song because I believe that God is first, family is second, and friends are third. Gene and I began our journey, as Pastor Bill Hart said, in 1986 when I first came to this church. And it makes no difference what you call the church. That has nothing to do with it. But the church is this gathering of people. And the Lord had spoke to Gene and I when we, after pastoring for 18 years, we started traveling across America and around the world in 1985. And I had a word, this word from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I don't want you to go from place to place. I don't want you to go from church to church. I want you to go where there is a connection. I want you to go where you have relationships, and I'll show you those churches. And so one of the churches that we came to was this church in Austin, Texas. And immediately, even though we had to stay in the Heart of Texas Motel, when I passed by there, I kind of salute like this. Even though we had to stay in the Heart of Texas Motel, I knew that we had a connection here. And in 1986, the Holy Spirit had me together, pastors of churches where Gene and I knew we had a connection. The Holy Spirit gave me this word from 1 Samuel, that Samuel went to Gilgal, he went to Mizpah, he went to Bethel, and then he returned to his home, which was in Ramah. So that's what the Holy Spirit said you're going to be doing. You're going to be going in circuit. The Bible said that Samuel went in circuit. And so we developed this circuit of churches. We invited about 21 pastors to come and meet us on December the 19th, 1986, and pay their own way. Now, how many, I've thought back many times, how many pastors are going to come for an invitation on December the 19th, pay their own way, 6 days before Christmas? I was not in my right mind at that particular time, but 19 out of 21 came. And I shared from my heart what I believed that God had spoken to me, that I was to go in circuit, not give myself to a church after church after church, but to give myself to a group of men and churches that I felt connected to, that I had a relationship with. And so God gave me that buzzword, relationships. And so this was one of the invitations I gave was to Pastor Bill Hart. Bill and Sue came on the 19th day of December. They came to Dallas, Texas, and they accepted my invitation to come to their church once or twice a year and minister. And so we began the journey. And so it took us 31 years, and we're still going. And during that time, I not only developed a relationship with Bill Hart, but I developed a friendship. And Jesus said, "You are my friend." And all of us need friends, but that can be very risky business. And I'm thankful today that I not only have a pastor in Austin who watches for me, cares for my soul, David said, no one cares for my soul. That was a very sad scripture. But a man who's my friend. Now, we have kind of a philosophy that goes all the way back to the 1950s that a pastor should not be friends with his congregation. Because if a pastor gets too close to members of their church, he will become familiar. There will be a spirit of familiarity that would develop, and they will notice his warts. But I've discovered that Bill Hart is not the normal pastor. In fact, of all the 20 pastors that would come to my circuit meeting, because we would meet Ruth Gentry, who is my personal assistant, she's here today, and she remembers scheduling this circuit meeting twice a year. We'd go to different places. And of all the 20 pastors that would come to the circuit meeting from different walks of life, different denominations, or different persuasions, there was one man that was quite different than all of them. He was a pastor from Austin, Texas. And he received the label Wild Bill. Not just Bill, but Wild Bill, because of his charisma and because of the way that he operated and because he was not religious and he was just down to earth, and everybody loved Wild Bill. And so Wild Bill became my friend, and then 4 years ago, he became my pastor. And I believe that this church, one of the main significance of this church is that you are a church of friends. And the pastor is not only your pastor, but he's your friend. And he doesn't care if you see his warts, because he is who he is. And I've always discovered that over Bill Hart. Over the past 31 years that I've known him, he's always Wild Bill. And he loves friendship. He values his friends. And so I'm thankful to have a pastor and a friend. And I believe that many of you today, you could probably say amen to that. And that's why that he exemplifies in this church friendship. You know, Gene and I have just had the privilege of ministering in some of the largest churches and some of the smallest churches. It doesn't make any difference. Across America, different parts of the world. And we've had the distinct privilege of ministering in so many, many types of churches. But I must say, there is no church like this church. And you could probably say amen to that, or oh me. So you're either going to hate this church or you're going to love this church. And there's not another church like it of all the churches that I've been to. But one of the things I've discovered about the cathedral, Austin Cathedral, that it's a place of friendship. And so relationships are very, very important. But there is a higher order than relationships, and that is friendship. So I not only want to be a dad to my kids and a papa to my grandkids, but I want to be their friend. I want to be their... Can you be both? I believe you can. I believe a pastor can be not just a leader. And so many churches that I know of, the pastor, he suddenly appears on the platform and he makes an announcement or two and preaches a sermon, then he's gone. You never see him anymore. He's not around for you to shake his hand or love him, or because they are like a certain hamburger franchise, they are in and out. I just had one of those the other day, by the way. But here at this church, there's a pastor who's willing to be a friend. You have a friend. And sometimes we may not need just the pastor, but we need a friend. God, family, and friends. And Jesus said, I'm going to be a friend to you. I'm not only going to be a Savior, I'm not only going to be your Lord, I'm going to be your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And so this is I would call this a house of friends. That's why you don't just have a few minutes of praise and worship and then 1 hour, the hour of power, and you're gone. But you take time to love on each other. You take time to greet each other. You take time to smile with each other. I mean, well, after all, it's been 7 days since most of you seen each other. So it's a house of friends. And that's why that before I ministered one Sunday, because some of you don't understand why Darren sang that song. But one Sunday morning several years ago, I was getting ready to minister. And right before I came up, Darren got up and began to sing, Darling, You Send Me, the old Sam Cooke hit song. And I could not believe that I was getting ready to preach and he would be singing a worldly, quote unquote, worldly song. But while he was singing, the Holy Ghost fell. And I have to say that in my 50 years of ministry, that was one of the most anointed Sundays that I have ever experienced in my life after Darren Shaw sang, Darling, You Send Me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I can do it any way I want to. I can do it any way I want to, even if somebody sings a worldly, Darling, You Send Me song. And it was one of the most anointed services I've ever been in my life, knowing that God can do it any way he wants to. But some of the most anointed times I've had in all of my ministry has been in this auditorium, because there is a special anointing here because friends have gathered. Not just people that have come just to go to church, go to a service, an in and out place, but a place where friends gather together. And sometimes you just need a friend. And Michael W. Smith told me he wrote that song, he and his wife Debbie, after two of their special friends had moved out of town, moved hundreds of miles away. He wrote that song, Friends. We're still friends now. And there is something important about being friends, even when you don't agree doctrinally. Well, I can't be their friend anymore because they don't agree. They don't agree with what I agree with. You can still be friends after doctrinal differences. You can still be friends if you're not the same color. You can still be friends whether you're old or young or tall or short or fat or skinny. You can still be friends. You can still be friends when challenges come and disappointments come. You can still be friends. And God loves it, and the devil hates it. I said God loves friendships, but the devil hates it. And so today I just wanted to talk to you for just a few moments about friends. And I made a lot of notes, which I won't share with you. But I did write these words about the friendships that I've discovered here at the cathedral in Austin, Texas, and how friendships can be built over several years, but can be broken in one day. That's why we need to watch and pray and value and honor friendships. They can be broken by misunderstandings, doctrinal differences, jealousy, competition, strife, envy, high expectations, distractions, offenses. And the Bible said offenses will come. In other words, there's going to come times that your friends are going to offend you. And you're going to say, I can't believe she said that to me. I can't believe that he did that to me. I can't believe that he suddenly cut me off. I can't believe that she would not accept my invitation. Do you understand how important friendships are? Why? Because there's times we need a friend. When everybody walks out and our friends walk in, it's so important. And in the multitude of this world population, what is there, about 6 billion people on this planet? Huh? Seven, I got that one wrong. 7 point something. Isn't it amazing, in the multitude of all these people that God brings about through what I call divine appointments and divine connections, he brings about some friends. A friend that will love you and care for you and stand with you whenever, whatever, however. That's my friend. I remember several months ago when Franklin Graham came to Austin. One news media said it was 800 people, but it was actually 8,000 people. And my son, Rick, let me out because I was going to do some live broadcasting on BPN radio. But I could not get near the platform. I needed to be near. And I looked, and I just did not see anybody. I was looking, how can I get close and do this broadcast? Then suddenly, I saw a friend. He's sitting on the front row. His name is Aaron. And Aaron saw me, and he was one of the greeters or whatever type of personnel he was. And Aaron said, I said, I need to get close. He said, you follow me. I followed my friend all the way to the platform, just within a few feet of Franklin Graham, so I could broadcast live on BPN radio. I had a friend, and I didn't know his name, but first of all, he just started to come up to me and said, can I carry your Bible to your car? And so, during the conversation of Aaron carrying my Bible to my car, he became my friend. And in the multitude of people that were there that day, I needed a friend. Have you ever looked around and needed a friend and looked everywhere and you just saw faces, and then suddenly you saw somebody that you knew and you thought, oh, wow, there is my friend. A friend in need is a friend indeed. And so I found a friend. Someone said, a true friend is one who always comes to my pity parties. A true friend is one who says, call me, drop me a note, send a text, send up a flare. When you need me, I'm there. A true friend is one who celebrates my victories, cries over my disappointments, and has my back during challenges. A true friend is one who tells me when I have spinach in my teeth. A true friend is one I can tell anything, and they still like me anyway. You know, everybody can say I love you, but do they really like you? A true friend is one who knows what I'm trying to say when I don't have the words to say it. A true friend is a time sharer, straight talker, mind reader, good thought sender, support lender, hug giver, memory collector, spirit lifter, life saver. By the way, this is not original. I'm plagiarizing right now. A true friend is special among the 6 billion people in the world. Oh, excuse me, 7.1 billion people. A true friend says there are three things I can count on: the sun coming up in the morning, the sky darkening at night, and your friendship. A true friend is one who ignores your faults. A true friend means I'll never be alone. Okay. I can be alone in the bathroom, but otherwise you're right there, a true friend. A true friend makes a good life a little bit gooder. Friends should be friends forever. I just believe the Holy Spirit would love for us to focus on those people that are true friends. We need to know, who's a true friend in my life? Gene and I were just Mrs. America, who's been a true friend. I have to say my best friend is my wife. I love being with her. And she has stood by my side now for 56 years of marriage. We both got married when we were teenagers. And she trained me up in the way she would have me to go. And sometimes I think she did a good job, and other times I think, I'm not sure. So we grew up together, loving each other, caring for each other, not a perfect marriage, but staying together. We made our commitment to each other, and she's my best friend. We love doing things together. Went on a date yesterday afternoon after I saw my grandson hit an NBA three-point shot to win the basketball game, and we thought, well, we're going to go to Papa Do's and celebrate. Yeah, I'm going to have a piece of sweet potato pecan pie to celebrate the victory. Yeah, I'll have some ice cream on the side just to celebrate the victory. Then we came home and watched some basketball. We love to watch sports together. We love to be together. And I'm thankful that she's my best friend. And we must guard our friendships. And I'm thankful that she started out and has been with me, not only as a wife and a companion, but as my wonderful friend. Thank you, Mrs. America. So we need friendship. Somebody said, well, I need companionship. Yeah, companionship is okay. It's good. But friendship is even better. We have a true friend. I'm thankful that Pastor Bill Hart is my pastor, but he's a true friend. And this congregation needs to put a value on this man, knowing he's not only a pastor, but he's a friend. We need a friend. So we must carefully guard our friendship. You know, there's some people I've heard say, I don't believe that I have a friend in the whole wide world, but you really do. And if you don't, then you're ignoring what the Bible says about friends. What does the Bible say? If you're going to have a friend, you need to be what? I can't hear you. You must be friendly. You can't be an old sourpuss all the time. And a friend does not want you to tell them about their faults. Have you ever heard anybody say, now I'm going to tell you this because I'm your friend? That may go over pretty well, and it may not. And remember that a true friendship is a two-way street. You can't have a true friendship without participation. Somebody said, well, they're my friend. Well, do you have their cell phone number? Don't call people your friend if you don't have their cell phone number. If they won't give you your cell phone number, uh-oh, I don't believe you're a true friend. You may be calling some people or trying to get hold of some people tomorrow. And remember, we must guard our friendship. Let me just share a few things I believe that will help your friendship and develop friendships. Okay? You must give your friendship room to breathe. Don't smother people. Don't put high expectations on people. Don't be offended when they say something that you don't quite like. Give them room. Offenses will come. So just ignore it and go on. Why should I do that? Because they are your friend. And don't take up offenses on behalf of your friends. So many people leave the church because their friend got offended. Don't take up their offense. Because God will give grace to the person offended, but he will not give grace to the one who takes up an offense. Very good. David said, sometimes I have to encourage myself. Okay, I'm going to give you a few and then I'm going to stop. Gene said, I can't believe you got all those notes, Dale. I can't believe it either. I know Ruth Gentry's saying, oh. The Bible said the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Someone said, let me see your friends, and I will tell you what type of person you are. Now, I believe we need to be friendly with everyone. But I've told my grandkids very often, you got to choose your friends carefully because you are known by the company that you keep. And your friends will influence you for good or for evil. So the righteous should choose his friends carefully. And a man who has friends must be friendly. Okay, I'm looking for my final notes here. I got it. Everybody okay? Now I'm leading to a place where I'm going to pray for you concerning your friends. Because I was telling Gene, there is nothing more important in our life than our friends. More important than having my home paid for. More important than driving a nice car. More important than having a bank account. More important than having some retirement. The most important asset in our life is our God, our family, and our friends. That is why we need to have friends, and we need to put a value on our friends. We need to be friendly. We need to be a good listener. Take all the time talking, and your friends will be gone. There's some people that don't have very many friends because they don't know how to listen. People are looking for a friend that will listen to them. Can you hear me? Can you listen to me? I have something to say. Be excited about what your friends are excited about. Celebrate with them. If they get a new car and you're driving a clunker, don't be jealous. Don't be intimidated. Celebrate the new car and say, let's take it around the block. And if it's okay, let me borrow it for the weekend. Don't give them counsel unless they ask for it. Don't give them counsel unless they ask for it. Because most people, they really don't want counsel. They just need somebody that will agree with them. Never repeat anything they have told you in confidence to anyone. The Bible said a whisper separates friendship. Never borrow money from a friend. And never loan money to a friend. The borrower is servant to the lender. There's nothing that is going to separate your friendship like borrowing money or owing money, lending money, because the lender is servant to the borrower. The borrower is servant to the lender. I'll get it right. And don't co-sign for a friend. Don't co-sign for a friend. Now, it took me 50 years to get all this together, so you better listen. Don't give your friend too much information. TMI. Stop. Don't give them too much information. Give your friends some space. Well, they haven't called me in 2 weeks. It's okay. Be ready to help your friend in time of need. How do you develop strong relationships, friendships, when people need a friend? Huh? They need a friend. They need someone that will sit with them at night. They need someone that will, their dog dies, they need somebody to come over and cry with them. They're sick in the hospital and you can just go spend some time, sit with them. Don't argue about the Bible with your friend. That can separate friendships. Not everybody's going to agree doctrinally. Not everybody's going to agree the way that you think it should be. Don't argue with them. You ruin your friendship. Don't expect your friends to share their wealth with you. Gene and I have some friends that have a lot of money, but I never ask them for their money. My friendship is not based on what they can give to me. I'm a spiritual father to a very well-known boxing champ. How much money has he given me over the years? $1,000. Am I still a spiritual father? Am I still a friend? Yes. So don't expect your friends to share their wealth. Don't lose your friends by wearing out your welcome. Don't appear too many times and too many days and too many weeks. Don't overcommit yourself to your friend. If you can't keep your commitment, then your friendship is going to be in jeopardy. That's all I've got. Y'all come on up. We're going to pray together. Everybody come up. We got some things to pray about, so y'all come on up now. We're going to pray together, and I'm going to help you. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today that Jesus is my friend. Huh? He's not. He is my Lord and my Savior and my soon coming King. But he's my friend. I love Jesus with all my heart. And if you don't know Jesus, I'd like to introduce him to you today, because he is a friend that sticks closer to the brother. And you can tell him anything you want to, and it makes no difference what you've done in your life. He still loves you. He still cares for you. And if you don't know Jesus, you could just say these words after me. Lord Jesus. Everybody could say it. I believe you're the Son of God. You died on the cross for my sins. You arose on the third day. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. I accept you, the work that was done on Calvary, as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. And thank you for being my friend. Thank you, Lord. Can we worship him? I love you, Jesus. Oh, can you say it with me? I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you so much. I love you. And we love him because he first loved us. When we were dirty, rotten, low down creatures, he loved us. Jesus loves me, this I know. Someone asked Billy Graham what your favorite saying is. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know. They said, oh, your favorite part is Jesus loves me. He said, no, my favorite part is this I know. This I know. This I know. He loves us regardless. And we need to love each other regardless. Even when they're unkind, unfriendly, unconcerned, we're going to say, I'm going to love them anyhow. And if we have found a friend, we don't need to let that friend go. And there's some of you, I'm going to pray for you right now, because you've lost your friend. You've lost maybe two or three friends. And that can be very painful. Very painful. David he had this friend. He said, I had this friend that I had meals with, and we were close, and he went away from me. He turned against me. And David expresses the pain and the sorrow of losing a friend. So I pray for those of you here today that you've lost a precious friend over the years. And it seemed like nothing could ever separate you. Y'all loved each other so much and cared for each other so much. And you laughed together and you played together and you prayed together. You enjoyed good times together. But you're no longer friends. You know, God could restore that. I pray for you right now. First of all, I pray for the pain that you feel. You just feel you when you hear their name and think about it, there's pain. And I'm asking the Lord just to remove the pain and just replace that with that love and thinking about the good times. And it may never be too late to contact them and say, I'm just thinking about you today and how much I love you. There's a couple that I ministered for over the years, and you know, there was misunderstandings. There will be misunderstandings in life. And so we're no longer close, but I think about them often, and I wrote them a note the other night just telling them how much I love them and I miss them. You know what happens when you do that? It lessens the pain of a loss of friendship. We just say, I'm just thinking about you. I want you to know I love you. How are you doing? Are you okay? Because one of the most wonderful things you can say to a friend is, I've been thinking about you. Is there anything I can do for you? Is there any way I can help you? And maybe you can and maybe you can't, but maybe you can. So I pray right now, if you want to receive my prayer, I pray for those of you that have lost a friend. Something happened. Something went wrong. There was a misunderstanding. Something took place, and now there's a missing person in your life. But you keep praying for them. The Bible said that Job, he received twice as much when he prayed for his friends. And that could be present friends or ex-friends. You say, I still remember those wonderful times. And I just want you to know I'm thinking about you. I love you. And is there anything I can do for you? You say, but you don't know how much they hurt me. Those words that they spoke, you don't realize they terminated me from a good job. You don't realize how they cut me out of the company. Well, there's where forgiveness takes place. And if you need to do that, if you need to forgive a friend right now that no longer is a close friend, this will be an opportune time right here on a Sunday. Just say, Lord, I forgive. And forgiveness is not an act of your emotions. It's an act of your will. I choose. You can choose to forgive. You can just call someone's name. You can whisper if you want to. You can put both hands over your mouth. But just this will be a great time. Say, I forgive, and you call their name right now. I forgive. I release them. I'm not trying to get revenge. I release them. And I'm thankful for friendship. I believe in relationships. That's what the Holy Spirit, the word he gave me in 1985, but there's a higher order. He's just speaking to me all week. Friendship, friendship, friendship. That person that you love and you're connected to. You can't let that go. Even though they may be far away, you can still call them your friend. Have you heard from them in a while? Not in a while, but I forgive them. And God can restore that friendship. And there may be times that you have to break a friendship because you understand that relationship, that friendship is causing you a lot of harm. Very detrimental. And you say, well, I love them, but I can't be close friends because I know. We're not talking about doctrine. We're not talking about misunderstanding. We're talking about people that no longer not only do not contribute to our life, but they're detrimental to our life. And it may be time that you break a relationship because you know that that is taking you down the wrong road. They're taking you to places that you don't need to go to. And it may be a good time right now to say, I know that I've got to break that relationship. I've got to break that friendship because that friendship is becoming very detrimental to me. Holy Spirit, speak to us today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if there is a friend that has blessed you, that has helped you, why don't you sit down and write them a letter or send them a postcard? I guess we still do that. Or send them an email or make a phone call and just say, I'm thinking about you today and I want to thank you. I called, one of my guests on BPN Radio the other day was a man who gave me my first revival on March the 12th, 1967. I've not seen him in 25 or 30 years, but he's still my friend. Have you got friends you hadn't seen for a long time, but you say, they're still my friend? And I called up Calvin Newton, and I said, Calvin, I just want to thank you for giving me my first revival. Have you ever thought about sending someone a letter of appreciation, a note of appreciation, just to say thank you? I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. Huh? Lord, we thank you for friendships. I thank you for my friend, Gene Gentry. I thank you for my daughters who are my friends. Ruth and Darlene, my grandchildren, are my friends. Taylor and Brock and Hunter and Megan, Brittany and Jordan. I'm thankful for Bill Hart, my pastor, who's my friend. And I'm thankful for this church that Gene and I are members of that are our friends. It's good to go to a church where people are friendly, and where you know you have friends. Because there will come a time you'll need friends. When Gene was diagnosed with cancer in 2004, I called Bill and Sue Hart, and this church started praying for Gene Gentry until she was healed. That's what you call friends. I knew who to call. Huh? When you get in trouble, you know who to call. I'm going to call my friends. And I'm thankful for Bill Hart and Sue Hart, our friends. I'm thankful for David and Jennifer. I've known them for a long time. I love them. Now they've got kids and companions. I'm thankful to God for you. Glorious to you still. Gloria Johnson still at the door. Thank you, Gloria. I don't see Jack here today, but Jack Parker, he's been my friend. Huh? He's on a vacation. That's what friends are for. Take you on vacation with them. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, we thank you for friendship. Get your hands in the air. Thank you for friends. Lord, thank you for our friends. We're thankful and grateful for our friends. Thank you, Darren, for singing that song. Whatever you want to sing right now. Let's thank God for what he's done today. Hallelujah. Thank you for our friends. Speak to us about friendship, valuing our friendship, recognizing our friends. Thank you, Lord, for our friends.